welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and enjoy the conversation. Our toll-free telephone number, you can give us a call tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you. Let's go ahead and open our program with the word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Bless the program tonight. Guide the conversation. Use us for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ, the things that we talk about. And we just thank you for the opportunities now. We pray these in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that if you're in an area where you've had a chance to go out and look at the lunar eclipse, unfortunately, as we were coming up to the radio station tonight, which would have been prime viewing time for the lunar eclipse here in the eastern half of the United States, it was so cloudy, it was starting to sprinkle even on the way up. About 9:30, we went out, we were standing in the driveway, and the clouds parted enough that I could see a little bit of the eclipse starting, just a little bit of a bite out of the earth. The moon, maybe about a third of the way into the moon at that time, I think, something like that. Not yet enough to start getting that kind of orangey, coppery, reddish, brownish color yet. And if you're in an area where you're able to see it or you have seen it tonight, if you want to give us a call and tell us how it looked, that would be nice. I'd love to hear about that. But again, if you've got the opportunity, if you've got clear skies, probably for about another half hour or so, if you get a chance to go out, I know that I'd like you to listen to the program so you could take the radio outside with you. But if you got the opportunity, if you're somewhere where you've got a good clear view of the moon, you should go outside right now and take a quick look at it. Just get a look at it, see how it looks. It's the lunar eclipse is called a blood moon because the moon gets a reddish color as a result of the light of the sun that's refracted by the Earth's atmosphere. The atmosphere acts sort of like a lens. And if you look at night or in the morning when the sun is coming up or when the sun is setting, and you know how you get kind of that reddish sky or orangey sky or something like that? Well, that's what happens. That reddish or orangish color that you see in the sky at sunrise or sunset, that is what's being refracted to the moon, those red or orange wavelengths of light. And they're going to the moon after being bent around the Earth's atmosphere. They're hitting the moon and bouncing back. And it gives it that neat color. And so the color of the moon really has a lot to do with the atmospheric conditions on Earth during the night of a total lunar eclipse. And I have not yet seen any of the pictures online. I had hoped that I would at least get a glimpse of it. The last full moon, which was on Passover this year, was early in the morning. It was like about 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning. And the best part of it, unfortunately, was when the sun was coming up here in Northeast Ohio. And so as a result, even though we went out to try and see it, we didn't get a very good view of it. It was setting on the horizon. And of course, the sun was rising. And so the light in the eastern sky was getting brighter and drowning it out. And it didn't get a very good view. Last year, and remember, we're in the midst, this is the final in what's called the blood moon tetrad that a lot of people have been excited about. And basically the blood moon tetrad, it's not that the lunar eclipse or the blood moon is uncommon, and it's not uncommon to have two in a year. What is uncommon is for a series of total lunar eclipses to occur on the first and last of the seven Levitical feasts. Leviticus chapter 23 outlines seven feasts. There's the There's the four spring feasts and the three autumn feasts. The first feast is the Feast of Passover, and then the last feast, which is what is started now. It started at sunset, and it runs until sunset tomorrow, and that's the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, sometimes called the Feast of Booths, and that's the last of the seven Levitical feasts. And so what's interesting is when there is a total lunar eclipse on the first feast of the year and the last feast of the year in the same year, no partial lunar eclipses or full lunar eclipses in between, and then the following year, and remember on the Jewish calendar, because they use a lunar calendar and we use a solar calendar for the Gregorian calendar that we look at, the following year to have it appear again on Passover and Sukkot, the first and the last of the Levitical feasts. And that is something that doesn't happen all that often. And so this was the midst of that one right now. And so if you get a chance to go out and take a look at it, I encourage you to go out. And it should be kind of interesting to look at. The last, what we call the Blood Moon Tetrad, occurred in 1967 and 68. And then, of course, the time before that was 1949 and 1950. And then the time before that was way back the 1400s, 1493 and 1494. And there's a series of them all the way worked out. I won't read through all of them. But interestingly enough, there was one apparently in the year 3233, which is right about the time that Jesus was crucified on the cross. And so for many people, they believe that there is some significance for the Jewish people. And again, as we've referred to it over the course of the last year, this year, we've talked about how the 1493-1494 was the time after Columbus discovered the New World, rediscovered the Americas, and there was a sanctuary that was provided eventually for the Jewish people. And then, of course, the State of Israel, 1948-1949, was when the wars were over and their place was solidified as a nation in the Middle East. And so then you had the 49-50, where the State of Israel was proclaimed. And then you had in 67-68, Israel had taken the Temple Mount and Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. And so there's a lot of speculation as to what would happen here in the 2014-2015 time frame. And if you're following what's going on the Temple Mount right now, there's a lot of violence. They've had to restrict access of some Muslims there, and there's even more vocal calls for the rebuilding of the temple soon on the Temple Mount. So yeah, if there's any significance at all, I tend to think it might be in regards to the rebuilding of a temple or the beginning of that there in Jerusalem. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. Let's get to our phones here tonight. We've got Doug calling in tonight. And Doug, welcome to the program this evening.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
Good. God, how are you doing tonight?
Yes, and you know I'm, you know, at my mom's house, you know, and you know I'm upstairs in the attic, and I'm looking up, and I just seen it,
uh-huh.
And, you know, even though it was cloudy, I did get to see a little glimpse of it, mm-hmm. right now.
Now, where are you located at?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, you're in Cleveland. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just a little south of Cleveland and Independence right now, and it was just socked in. We couldn't see a thing here coming into the station. But how did it look, the glimpse that you got?
Man, it looked like a little darker red. A little bit of darker red.
It really is fascinating to see it. Apart from anything that you know may or may not have any connection, you know, with prophetic significance or whatever, it's just a very fascinating thing to watch.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm encouraging people, even though I'd like people to listen to the program tonight, if you get a chance, go out and look at it. So you got at least a little glimpse of it there through the clouds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's Amen. Great.
And, you know, I've been constantly you know, constantly in God's word. And I mean, you know, it's funny because like 6 or 7 nights in a row, you know, I see the moon. You know, it comes to the same, you know, to the same spot. It's like before like the sun down. Mm-hmm. And the first I seen, like, you know, like you see like a banana sized moon.
Right. Right.
Yeah. First, you know, I seen that. And then I seen like, and then it turned into like a quarter of a half, and then,
right.
And you know, on and on, like seven nights in a row, and I believe that it was meant for me to see it because,
well,
you know,
yeah.
I'm watching for you know, signs, you know, like the Bible says to, you know, look out for the signs and everything, you know, for it's coming, because people just don't have a clue, L, that this is it. You know, they too much,
right.
they too busy on watching television and TV, and, you know, they too busy being entertained and not watching what's going on out here, and especially witnessing to those, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, and yeah, I was going to say, that's where I had mentioned about what's happening in Israel right now, you know, with the
yeah.
events on the Temple Mount and all. And, you know, people were more interested, you know, and I understand people are interested in the Browns game, of course, but you know, people know more about that, pay more attention to that than they do to these things happening around them.
Exactly.
And the Browns game may or may not be interesting. I suppose that depends on whether you're a Browns fan and whether or not they're winning. But sometimes that's challenging when you're in Cleveland. But at the same time, you know, those are only temporary entertainments.
Exactly.
And
that's right.
We see things happening that directly are going to affect people's lives because, you know, for the moment, and I know this is, basically a Christian-themed talk show, but if you just look at it from the secular perspective, if war breaks out in the Middle East,
uh-huh.
it's going to directly affect us here in terms of the price of gasoline and the threat of terror attacks and things like that. And then, of course, you know, from the biblical perspective, which we look at as Bible-believing Christians, you know, we know that Jerusalem has become a stumbling block to the nations, just
right.
as the Bible said it would be. And we see these things happening, and we realize that it's going to get worse before the Lord intervenes.
Exactly.
And so, like Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, that we should look up, for our redemption draweth nigh.
Exactly,
and
rejoice. And you know, also the Bible says, "It ain't gonna come up on us as a thief in the night. Only those that are lost."
Right,
you know?
Right. In fact, Paul said to the Thessalonians that we should be watching and waiting, that we not be caught or overtaken as a thief.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, these things, if nothing else, and it's like I've said on the program before, whether or not there's any great spiritual or prophetic importance to the blood moon tetrad phenomena, it gets people thinking, it gets people looking into the Bible, it gets people asking questions, and that's good in and of itself, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, I want to thank you for your call. I've got another caller calling in here yet, but if you get a chance, take a look out there some more. Maybe there'll be another break in the clouds. But, again, thank you for the call there, Doug. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We've got James calling in tonight. And, James, welcome to the program this evening.
Hi.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, I was calling in light of last week's program. I think you promised everybody that you would elaborate a little on the Pope's visit and its implication for the Bible-believing Christian.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, last week, I think it was toward the end of the program, we had a question about the Pope, and we didn't have too much time to get into all of it. It's been rather interesting. As I was coming up to the station tonight, I was actually listening to a secular talk program, and the host is a Catholic. And he was talking about the Pope's visit. It was kind of interesting because, see, as a Baptist, I've never actually been Did we lose a call? If you want, James, if you want to call back, I think we lost your call there. But what I was going to say is most of what I know about the Catholic Church is what I've read about it or what people who have been Catholics have told me about it. But one of the things that my wife and I were talking about this, and we were talking at church as well, about how many people, including, you know, secular news anchors and things like that, that are usually very, very, very much against the Catholic Church in terms of its positions on abortion and same-sex marriage and things like that. And as a result, they usually don't have too many good things to say about them, but they've just been enthralled with this guy. And it was so much that I had to laugh. I saw a picture where Congressman, Bob Brady, he's a Democrat from Philadelphia, congressman, when the Pope spoke at the Congress, he made his way forward after the Pope's speech, and he swiped the glass, the water glass that the Pope drank out of during his speech, and he took a sip out of it and had his wife take a sip out of it, and he claimed that anything the Pope touches becomes blessed. And so he had some of his staffers drink from it, and he was going to take it home so he could sprinkle water out of it onto his grandchildren. To each his own, I suppose, but you know, it just seems to be getting carried away a little bit more there. And the Pope is a very interesting figure because he represents both the head of the Roman Catholic Church, but he also represents the head of state of the state of the Vatican. The Vatican City is an independent sovereign state. Interestingly enough, Mussolini, during the I want to say the 1930s, granted the Vatican City independence from Italy, and he gave it to them. And so, of course, the Vatican City ever since then has been an independent state. It's obviously one of the smaller nations in the world, and it's a relatively small population, but a dense population in terms of the number of people that live in the Vatican City. I don't know the exact area that it encompasses or the exact population, but because it is an independent state, they have diplomatic relations with most of the countries of the world. And so the Pope, when he goes out, he wears two hats. He is both a head of state and the head of a large religious organization. And so he spoke before Congress, and I was disappointed because the Roman Catholic Church usually takes a very strong pro-life stance. And speaking to Congress, the Pope kind of just sort of vaguely touched on the abortion issue, talking about defending life at all times. But then he went on to take a very unbiblical position against capital punishment. Capital punishment, of course, is something that's in the Bible. It's in the first five books of the Bible for sure, and it's even referenced a little more indirectly as being valid in the New Testament. But nevertheless, rather than take a clear opportunity to take a clear position against abortion, and especially in light of the Planned Parenthood videos that are out there and the hearings that are taking place, and the House had passed the resolution to defund Planned Parenthood, to shift that money that was going to Planned Parenthood to women's health organizations that did not do abortions. And then, of course, the Senate was looking at that, and it did, of course, I guess it failed in the Senate, but there's still a number of things going on with regards to funding, federal funding of Planned Parenthood. And so he could have taken a clear opportunity to make a strong case for the pro-life position and make a strong case that governments should not be funding the mutilation and destruction of living human beings at the youngest and most vulnerable stage of life. But instead, he just sort of made a vague indirect reference to it and then went on to wax on eloquently about why we should get rid of capital punishment. And I thought that was wrong on his part. He could have, and again, this is reflected in what he spoke about at the UN and in some of his masses and stuff that he conducted. Instead of speaking out forcefully on what biblical marriage is, the marriage between a man and a woman, he felt it necessary to lecture on the evils of capitalism, which I find it interesting that, I still remember Governor Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana. His parents were immigrants from India, and he was talking with somebody who had immigrated from India, and he said, "Why do you want to come to America?" And the man told him, he said, "I want to live in a country where even the poor people are fat." And, you think about that. Poor people in America lead a better lifestyle than the middle class in much of Europe. And that's just a fact there. But, poor people in America are troubled with obesity, and poor people in America have flat screen TVs and they have iPhones and all kinds of stuff. And poor people elsewhere in the world would dream of living the lifestyle of many of the poor in America. Now, that's not to say that there aren't people going through difficult circumstances in America, but what I'm getting at is the Pope could have taken time to commend the United States on how much progress it's made in some of these areas, but instead he decided that he had to denigrate capitalism, and instead of standing up for morality and against same-sex marriage, standing for traditional definition of marriage, he had to harp on the pseudoscience of climate change and global warming. And so he went on a number of those things. I think he'd have been better served sticking to some of the Roman Catholic theological positions. Now, I am in no way endorsing the Roman Catholic Church by means. I have serious issues with some of their theology, especially in terms of the manner of salvation. It's salvation by grace alone through faith alone, according to Ephesians chapter 2. But at any rate, what I'm getting at is he could have done those things. He could have used his popularity and all to accomplish those things, but he did not, in my opinion. Now, as far as other things go, some people thought that perhaps when he met with President Obama, there was some thought that he may endorse President Obama as the Antichrist. And I did not quite buy into that myself, but I know some people did. Well, unless he did it in secret, I missed the Pope endorsing President Obama as the Antichrist. I didn't catch that. One thought that was before he spoke at the UN, actually two things that I do not believe that he mentioned, was the calling for a new world order and also for the calling of the UN recognition of the state of Palestine. There still may be some moves. Mahmoud Abbas, the former head of the Palestinian Authority, is supposed to address a UN session, not the General Assembly, but another session, I think, on the 30th. And he has promised to drop a bombshell, as he puts it, in his speech. And some people believe he's going to demand that the UN recognizes Palestine as a state. And I guess they did have the flag of Palestine hanging in the UN General Assembly room there, I guess, when the Pope came in. We're coming up on a break here, and I've got another caller, which I'll try to hold over to the next half of the program, if you don't mind, if our caller will hang on there. But I wanted to mention a couple things, too, real quick, on that with the Palestinian state. Of course, the whole idea of the Palestinian state and the Palestinian people is based on a lie that was propagated after the Six-Day War in 1967. Prior to that time, there was everybody that lived in that area might have been called Palestinian, especially prior to the founding of the Jewish state. Jews that lived there were called Palestinians because the area was British Palestine. Palestine is a name that's related. It's the exact same word as Philistine in the Bible. And the Palestinians, so-called today, are Arab peoples that are descendants of Ham and Shem. The Philistines are a different group of people entirely. no way related. They descended not from Abraham, not from Shem. I believe they descended from Shem's brother Canaan. Remember Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The original Palestinians or the Philistines, remember David and Goliath. Goliath was a Philistine or a Palestinian, and they were descended from Ham. The Arabs and the Jews are descended from Shem via Abraham. We might talk about more of that in the second half of the program, but we're coming up on our break. I hope you'll stick with us and join us on the second half, and we would love to have you give us a call. Our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you. And we'll be on till midnight. So I think we got a little more time than what I thought. I'm sorry. I was thinking I was a little further along. So let me mention a couple other things here too. Want to mention too that you can check us out on our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go to that page, you can find out more about us. You can link to our Facebook page there. I try to put a bunch of articles that I'm reading on the Facebook page there and link to that where you can see those, and I encourage you to check that out. That's livewithpastoral.com. Don't go away. We've got another whole half hour of our program to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. Also encourage you to visit us at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about us. You can download past programs. We've got MP3 files there. And also, you can link to our Facebook page there. And I try to get a number of articles linked on Facebook there that you can follow. And I also want to mention East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5 if you mention Live with Pastor Al. Give them a call at East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, maybe you're living out of state, you're not in Ohio, and you think, well, I can't go to Garfield Heights and order a pizza, but it sure would be nice to be in the pizza business. Or maybe you have a restaurant and you'd like to add a good pizza to your restaurant offerings. Well, you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. All right, let's get back to our program here. The toll-free number, of course, is 888-677-9673. We've got Jeremiah patiently waiting on the line. Jeremiah, welcome to the program tonight.
Yes, hi. You've been sure a blessing to me.
All right, good evening. Glad to have you on. Have you had a chance to look out and see if you can see the lunar eclipse tonight?
No, I haven't got a chance. I look outside my window and look at my blind. I don't know which way the moon is, north, south.
Yeah, it should be generally in, it's probably right almost straight up overhead right now in a slightly southerly direction. So maybe by now starting to verge more to a southwesterly direction. I'm not sure exactly where it's going to be right at the moment, but that's probably about where. But if the clouds part, it'll be extremely visible because it's, like I said, it's a full moon, and also it's a super moon, which means it's a whole, I think, 1.5% bigger than usual or something like that, because that's appearance-wise. It's always the same size. It's just a little bit closer to the Earth right now.
Now, the blood moons is just for tonight.
What's that?
The blood moons is just for tonight.
Well, yeah, a lunar eclipse, a total lunar eclipse, is called a blood moon because of the coloration. Sometimes it has like a blood red color. And this is the last of the blood moon tetrad. And the blood moon tetrad, as I was saying earlier, is when you have four lunar eclipses in a row during the course of 2 years, where each one is on the first and last of the Levitical feasts, the Leviticus chapter 23 feasts, that the first one being Passover, the last one being Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And so last year, 2014, we had a lunar eclipse on April 15th, which was Passover, and then again on October the 8th, which was Tabernacles. And then this year we had again, the next lunar eclipse was April 4th, that was Passover. And then today at sunset started the Feast of Tabernacles. And so this is the fourth in this blood moon series.
So this will be the last one for this year?
Yeah, it'll also be the last lunar eclipse. A lunar eclipse, there may be one or two a year, typically, total or partial eclipses. But these are unique because of the pattern occurring, you know, on successive Passovers and Tabernacles in two successive years. And that's a very unusual thing. The last one occurred 48 years ago, and then the one before that occurred 19 years prior to that, and that would be in the 49-50 range. And then the one before that was hundreds of years back in the 1400s, 1493 and 1494. And then before that, you have to go back to, I think it's 860 and 861. So you can see there's quite a gap. The tetrad does not occur very often. I think the next one's not going to be for like 300 years or something like that.
I have my King James Bible open mm-hmm. to the book of Genesis.
Yes.
Chapter 1,
uh-huh.
verse 5.
Okay.
It says, "And God called a light day, and darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day."
Right.
And the next verse, Genesis 1, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be the signs and the seasons of the days and the years."
Mm-hmm.
So basically, God created the day and the night.
Right,
and
right.
The moon and the...
Yeah. In fact, verse 16 says that, where he made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And and it's interesting. That's also why the Jewish calendar, they count the days as starting at sunset rather than at midnight like we do, because the evening and the morning were the first day. And,
Bible prophecy, the blood moon, is that connected with the Bible prophecies and the Bible revelation when it says the moon will turn into blood? And
And that's connected to the prophecy in Joel, which talks about latter days and during the time of the tribulation. And there's various things that can turn the moon to a blood red color. One is like during the eclipse like we have tonight, and for people who are in an area where the clouds are, the sky is clear enough that they can see the moon, they're probably seeing, our one caller called in earlier and said it seemed to be kind of a dark red color. That's because of the light refracted from the Earth's atmosphere, from the sun, kind of acting like a lens and bending it around. But also, if you remember, do you remember back in the, when was it? The early 90s, the first Gulf War, remember that?
Uh-huh.
Remember when Saddam Hussein started burning the oil fields?
Yeah.
And the huge amount of smoke that was going up in the sky from the burning oil fields. The moon, the full moon during that period of time, had kind of a blood red color too. So it's not necessarily, in Joel's thing, has to be a lunar eclipse like we're seeing tonight. It could be, if you look at in Genesis, there's incredible natural disasters that take place. There's probably going to be a tremendous amount of volcanic activity and war taking place, all of which would put a lot of dust and ash into the Earth's atmosphere. When there's a major volcano that goes off, the ash that's pumped into the atmosphere gives the moon sort of a blood red color. Sometimes when there's a large forest fire and a lot of smoke going up into the air, people who are under that smoke cloud, the moon tends to take on a blood red color. So there's a lot of things that can give that coloration to the moon, but in Revelation, that'll be a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy and talking about the final days, and it could very well be the moon turns to blood, so to speak, because of the things that are going on the earth, the wars and the disasters and things that are taking place. But
you mean a book of Joel?
Yes, the book of Joel in the Old Testament.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what that's a reference to. I think it's in Joel chapter 2. I don't have that in front of me right at the moment, but
I'll make sure to read that.
Yeah, Joel's a short book. It's good to read the whole thing. You'll get it in context. And Jesus, when he started his earthly ministry, opened the manuscript at the book of Joel in the synagogue, and he began reading, and of course he cut off before he got to that point. Because that point was not yet to be fulfilled in his first coming. That is to be fulfilled prior to his second coming. So we're looking forward to that date.
I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you, Jeremiah. I appreciate the call tonight. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our number. And we have, let's see, I'm not sure the DA, I guess the initials.
That's
tonight.
Correct.
And hopefully you're not the district attorney calling for us tonight. But
no, I'm not.
Glad you're calling. Welcome to the program.
I really enjoy listening to your program. I've been listening to it for quite some time.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
My question is, with all this whole thing this last week with the Pope being in the United States and all of this, is the Catholic religion the only one we're looking up to a person for advice? Because it seems like in the rest of us who are Christians or whatever denomination are looking to God for advice and talking to Him. Whereas it seems like with the Catholics, for whatever reason, they're getting a lot of advice or a lot of say-so from the Pope, and as a human figure.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I've been curious about, because like I said, that's the only one, and it seems like we're dealing with a human trying to tell people what to do and what not to do and coming around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and you're partially correct in that. There are some other groups that look up to a man as their leader, but as far as one of the largest so-called Christian groups, the Roman Catholic Church, yeah, they have that because they believe that the Pope speaks for God. He's God's representative. He's the vicar of Christ on earth. And so that's why they say when the Pope speaks ex cathedra, it's as if God is speaking, you know. And so other churches don't follow that. Other groups, denominations don't follow that. As an independent Baptist, of course, and let me preface this by saying that most church histories that you see are actually Roman Catholic histories, and most Protestant histories, because the Protestant churches came out of the Catholic Church, their Catholic histories up until the origin of that various Protestant group, whatever it is, true church history goes all the way back to the book of Acts, you know, in the Bible, Acts chapter 1, actually into the end of the Gospels, where Jesus began forming the basis of the church, and then it went out into the world in the book of Acts. And that original church, those were independent churches that preached the message of salvation by grace through faith. And many of the Protestants started rediscovering that, and that's what led them to separate from the Catholic Church. But there were groups that believed and practiced that all the way from the first century down to today. And the Baptists are a descendant of those groups. And so as a Baptist, that's a tradition that goes back to the first century. Though some Baptists came out of the Catholic Church, the group as a whole did not. It goes back to the first century. And we look to not the pastor as the voice of God, but we look to the Bible as the Word of God, which you were alluding to there. That's our source of faith and practice, not the words of a man. And I tell our church all the time, if I preach something or teach something that's contrary to the Bible, and that's why we encourage people to follow along in their Bible when I'm preaching, if I go contrary to the Bible, their obligation is to listen to the Bible first, not me. Their obligation is to say, you know, Pastor, I think you were wrong on this. And if they show me that I was wrong, then my responsibility is to say, you know, you're right. I was wrong on that. I need to conform what I say to the Bible, not conform the Bible to what I want to say. And that's a problem that happens sometimes. Even in good churches, sometimes that can happen. And when that happens, man starts to become more important than God. And so you'd start to develop a man-made organization. In fact, if you follow real church history in the first, second, and third centuries, you'll see how they went from independent congregations that preached the pure gospel and salvation by faith in Christ. And as that began to change, churches began controlling other churches, and then they began instituting things contrary to the scriptures. And you know, as over time denominations began to form, and then certainly in the third century, when Rome embraced Christianity as the official state religion, then of course the Church of Rome, which was the seat of the Roman Empire, then they became, you know, the head of the churches, so to speak. But a lot of churches did not go along with that. They were dissenting churches, and they were persecuted heavily by the state of Rome and by the Church of Rome, because they would not come
under. One thing you said that really struck me, though, was because when you go to a church, you know, whoever church it is, as far as denomination wise,
mm-hmm.
you know, you think that when you're hearing a pastor preach, whoever it is, that it's the Word of God coming from coming through that person, coming through that preacher mm-hmm. or pastor or cases. And you really hit me when you said that a minute ago.
Yeah. And you know, that's why preaching should be based on the Bible. And unfortunately, a lot of times people will come up with a great message and they'll say, wow, this is fantastic. Let me see if I can find some Bible verses to justify it. That's not really the way to prepare a good message. The way to prepare a good message, that's reading into the Bible what you want to find. The best way to prepare a message, I think, is to read the Bible and see what the Bible has to say and then bring it out of the Word of God and conform your message to the Word, in other words. And that's what I try to do, at least. I try to read the Bible, and just like, what was it, I think in the book of Ezra, where they made them stand up and they said he read the scriptures and then he gave the sense of it, rather than say what he wanted to say and then give some scriptures to justify it. And, you know, as they say, it's you take something out of context, you can make it say anything. After all, the Bible says Cain killed his brother Abel, and then it also says, go thou and do likewise. So, you know, I don't think we want to tell people to go out and kill their brother.
No, but so. I think one of the biggest verses, it seems like, without knowing the history of it, mm-hmm. that a lot of people quote right there is, for example, is Jeremiah 29:11.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of the most quoted verses, and people use it for what was going on in their life rather than knowing the history of the verse, I put it.
Well, and that's what comes from keeping things in context. And, of course, Jeremiah chapter 29, I've got another question or caller calling in to get to you yet before the end of the program. But
I'm sorry.
Okay. Jeremiah 29:11. Let me just read that for people who don't know what that is. It's where the Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Is that the one you're looking at?
Yeah, to give you hope for knows your future. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, correct.
Yeah, and see, that's why messages the pastor's message has to be based out of the Word of God. And I believe that people in the church should have an open Bible on their lap or in front of them while the pastor is preaching and follow along. And if you are genuinely born again, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the same Holy Spirit's in you that's in that pastor if he's genuinely born again. And that same Holy Spirit can help give you insight and understanding. And see, these man-centered churches, they try to tell you that only certain people can understand the Bible. That's nonsense. The same Holy Spirit that's in me is in you. If you're born again, you can understand. God can help you understand. And so we work together, you know, the pastor and the people in the pew work together to help understand the Bible and to learn and to use it to direct their paths and to direct the work of the church. But yeah, some good comments there tonight. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling. Hope you'll call back again sometime. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We've got Nancy calling in yet tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call. I was able to see the Blood Moon after 10:15. I think you were, or I read it somewhere on the internet that the eclipse started at 10:15 and it was going to last until 11:45 for an hour and a half. But
yeah, the main part, yeah, the total part of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. But I was watching it before because I ran out right after church this evening.
Yeah, yeah, and we saw a little. We saw a little bit of it about 9:30 when it was just the Earth's shadow was just taking a bite out of it, and then the clouds came in. We hadn't seen anything more.
The clouds kept rolling by, kept changing depending on the cloud cover. The clouds were really rolling along quickly.
Yeah,
but we was able to see the red blood moon. It was like after 10:15, but prior to that, I was sort of disappointed because all I saw was a bright white moon.
Yeah, and you'll see it that way when you see the shadow just coming across from the side, going from left to right, I believe it was, it'll be bright. The red coloration really doesn't appear much until it's almost completely covered.
Well, it was after 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then also, I just wanted to point out a couple of statements that the Pope said.
Yes,
to,
go ahead.
To talk about your prior caller, which I thought were incredible. The Pope says you don't have to believe in God to go to heaven.
Yes.
And then he also said having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is harmful. But
yes,
some of the things that he said were like totally off the wall, and not even, it wasn't even in sync with the Catholicism or the Protestants or the Baptists. It was just humanism. It was humanism. It was almost like something that an atheist or a new, he seems like a puppet of the New World Order. He was talking about sustainable development, global.
Mm-hmm. There's a number of even Catholics that are upset with him because they think that he is drifting away even from their positions on some of these things.
Like you mentioned before, it wasn't even, it was not pro-life. He barely mentioned anything about that. It was just a slight mention of life, but, you know, any other pope, you know, was definitely pro-life. And, it was just shocking. I mean, to me... It seems like a fulfillment of prophecy, and he's a representative of the new world order, a puppet. I mean, I don't know if he's an Antichrist or anything, but he certainly is.
A lot of people have wondered, could he be the Antichrist? Could he be the false prophet? Whatever the case is, I believe that anybody that denies, the fundamental truths of the Bible, they have the spirit of Antichrist working in them. And Nancy, do you have your radio up in the background? I think I'm getting a little bleed over from there.
Oh,
a little bit there. A little, just seemed a little echo in the background. It might be my headsets, but I had some trouble with them earlier. You're right. We have to, and I encourage people, check out anything that somebody says. Remember, Paul had commended the Christians at Berea. He said, in I think it's Acts 17:11, he said they were nobler than those in Thessalonica. And the reason he said they were nobler was because they didn't accept the things that he said because he was the great apostle Paul. They accepted them because they checked out the scriptures that they had, and they proved that whether it was correct or not. And because it was correct, they accepted it. And that's what people need to do, because Jesus said in the latter days many would come in his name claiming to be Christ, and or at least his representatives. And we see that happening over and over again. You look at the Mormons, for instance. There's another religion that follows a man, Joseph Smith. He came on the scene and said that Christ had appeared to him and the angel Moroni had appeared to him. And even the Muslims, Muhammad said that there was an angel that appeared to him. He thought it was a demon or a jinn at first. Mm-hmm. And then his wife at the time convinced him that it was actually supposed to be, Gabriel or Michael, the archangel, one of the two. I forget which exactly. But again, they look to a man. And whatever he says, whatever he does, you don't look to the man. You look to the man. You look to the man that the pastor represents, or that the person represents, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. That's the man we look to.
I think it's so interesting that Pope is so popular in the world. And I think you probably mentioned this before.
Yes.
Anybody that's that popular in the world is not following the Bible, like Rick Warren or Joel Osteen. I mean, they're just tickling ears.
You made a good point. You made a good point, because Jesus was not popular in the world. Peter was not popular in the world. Nancy, about out of time. I want to thank you for the call tonight.
Thank you very much.
And I appreciate that. Thanks for all of our callers this evening. I hope you'll join us again next week for another edition of Live with Pastor Al. Join us on livewithpastoral.com. You can download programs there, find out more about us, and link to our Facebook page as well. We're out of time tonight. Thanks again. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com.
Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.